table under the tree.
This has got to be politically incorrect.
Scandalous.
You know what? We are not choosing this music. It's Steve. It's Steve Santa. It is Steve that's choosing this stuff.
Oh, I love it.
I wanted to let there be.
We are politically incorrect.
Crime over there.
Politically incorrect, and we're going to play Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer soon. And
after this cold, I could be Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Cold outside.
It is cold outside, you know. In studio with us, we have Keith Hughes. He's a good friend. He's a psychological and spiritual counselor. He's 30 years in the business and really a part motivational coach, therapist, pastor, teacher, mentor, life coach. He does a lot of good stuff. And we have him come in from time to time, especially around the holidays, to kind of help us work through what's going on this time of year, because there are a lot of rituals that people are doing, and that's great. Let's talk about that. And then we also want to talk a little bit about the holiday blues, and not everybody's always happy at the holidays, and so you've got to be aware of that and be sensitive to that as well. Welcome, Keith.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. Can we start with the holiday blues?
We certainly can. Wherever you want to go.
Let's start with the holiday blues. It's supposed to be a very happy time. You know, obviously for Christians, it's a happy time because we think this is what brings us hope. This is where our hope comes from, because Jesus was born on this day. And that is the reason that we have hope for the future and we know things are going to be okay. But also at Christmas time, it's a time when families get together and maybe somebody's just lost a loved one. And that's tough. Any recommendations for folks that are dealing with friends that are going through something like that in the holiday season?
Yeah, what tends to happen in the holidays is the tremendous expectations that we place upon it, mm-hmm. of the way it should be. And that goes on while the rest of our life is happening. Because it's a holiday, life doesn't stop. You know, death occurs. Losses happen. Things break. And especially when it becomes a stressful time of year of high expectations, stress increases all kinds of activity, right? Mm-hmm. So life occurs and death occurs, and I think it's giving ourselves permission to live life as it is and be in the moment that life presents sometimes. But then, you know, Christmas has this story that's in front of us that is trying to always tell us, you know, a deeper meaning of life. And maybe something like this Christmas story has a life preserver for us, right? About a gift of hope, God's great story of being God and shrinking himself to being a baby, mm-hmm. and how daring and courageous God is like that. So I think the Christmas story and the meaning of it all can be there to sustain life versus the holiday idea of the hype of it all and the party of it all, mm-hmm. where that's where it hits our psyche really hard of, this is supposed to be a great, fun time, and it's a good party, and it's a lot of celebration, right?
Yep.
And we get hooked on that with the way things should be. Mm-hmm. And that's what all the advertisement shows.
Mm-hmm.
But our life might not be telling that story, right? Life may not be a party. It's something else. And can we allow ourselves to have our time? It's a time of grief or whatever, or loneliness, or just maybe it's just stuck somewhere. Our lives are still occurring, and maybe a Christmas story can be the idea, right? To find strength from, to find hope from, you know?
You know, Keith, I've been thinking a lot about it this season. I was having a conversation last week with someone, and we were having the conversation really about, and you can fill in the blank, whether or not it is, you know, addiction or, you know, just any of these things that are going on in society now where people say you were born this way, okay? So, or you were born with this propensity to this, or you were born this way. And as I thought about it, I'm like, you know what? I don't buy that. I think that where I'm at now is that we each are making choices about our lives. And many times, I mean, we're human beings. The choices that we make, sometimes at Christmas time, we look back, we're like, I wish I would have made that choice. This is, you know, I mean, we're hit with that all the time. And so we continued with the conversation, and the other person said, well, I don't believe that. I believe that we are, you know, this person is born this way. And all of a sudden I said, if, in fact, we are born this way, again, fill in the blank, and we all have whatever in it, then there would be no need for a Savior. And that is what the whole Christmas story is this story where God has pursued mankind because he knows that we need a Savior. And each one of us do. You know, whenever you see the commercial of everybody happily bounding up the steps to see Grandpa and Grandma, well, I've driven 3 hours with kids fighting in the car for three, you know, by the time I get there, and I'm exhausted because, you know, I had to buy all the gifts and do all this, and it wasn't the Hallmark moment. And then I'm feeling badly because it's not the Hallmark moment. And ultimately, there's some respite knowing that there is a Savior that has come to kind of reconnect us. A comment?
Amen. That was a good way to put it, Kim, that... we all need rescuing. All of us
we
do.
We all need rescuing.
In some way, as you're talking about. And that's sort of the story, right, that God does for us is that I'm going to come down to your level, right? And even beyond that, I love the story so much. He comes down here for us to take care of him.
Right?
He trusts us, right? He entrusted a 14-year-old virgin to take care of him, right?
Yeah.
But God does that.
Interesting. I hadn't thought about it like that, Molly.
I didn't sleep much last night for many reasons, but...
Because you knew you needed to be here at the crack of dawn, right?
Right. No, how God does this story of he puts himself to be very helpless and vulnerable toward his creation. What God does that.
Wow.
And that's the gift.
That's why this whole baby coming as a baby is such a big deal.
It's profound like that. And it's like he makes himself vulnerable and shrinks himself to be so small and so daring and vulnerable. That's a gift to mankind. One of the pullbacks or the takeaways we get to do is sometimes our smallest things, our helplessness, our need, our weakness is a great gift to somebody else.
So at Christmas time, though, I think sometimes those things that you're just talking about, the vulnerability, the helplessness, the things that you kind of wish were going a little different in your life, it's like this big blaring thing looking at it. And then, you know, when life isn't perfect, I think sometimes you look at other people and you're like, everybody else, everything, they all have it together. I'm the only one out here that doesn't have it totally together.
Right.
And the holidays is actually when it's like the spotlight is on you for not having it together. Because at least the rest of the year you can kind of hide, you do your work, you go home, you do your deal. But it's like the holidays, you're in front of everybody you know all the time, and you're supposed to have a smile on your face.
Right. And, you know, I was reminded of the story in church this Sunday, that what's great about this story, the Christmas story, is Jesus comes to redeem his family, which was completely immoral, social outcasts, murderers, adulterers. His family history line is quite colorful.
Yeah.
A complete mess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And mankind was a mess. Yeah, right. Us too. Yeah. Me too. Yeah. And Jesus comes to redeem that, and God redeems that through Jesus. And that's big. That's us. That's all of us, right?
Talk about a Me Too movement.
Huh? Yeah.
Okay. Exactly. Well,
that's actually the motto of my church, and we had that before all the crazies came up with it.
Aha. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I guess to the Christmas blues is sometimes remedied with reframing it, right? Of, I don't have to be in a party. That's sort of a Western cultural idea, isn't it? To have the great Hallmark thing. Mm-hmm. That was never the point. So we can give ourselves a break to say, I can have my moment, and I can find hope spiritually with faith in God and community by those who do might love us and care for us. It may not be your immediate family, or it might be. Mm-hmm. So the Christmas blues sometimes are triggered because, oh, the way it should be, my life should be all put together and all that. We know it's not true. A lot of blues are created by a myth anyway.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Right?
The way, for sure.
The way I should be, the way we should be, the way life should be. And that's a horrible way to go about it.
Well, and when you talk about, you know, one of the things that I've just been so concerned about is this epidemic of our young people that are committing suicide. And I think it's so important. Sometimes I think, you know, things may happen in a relationship and, you know, person A may think, oh, nobody cares about me. And, you know, I mean, I don't know what's going on, but the message that we need to send, the message of Christmas, is that each individual is so treasured and valued and precious that the good Lord said, don't make me come down there, but I'm going to, because I care so much about each of you, because you are treasured and you are precious and you are valued. And so that is the message when we have the holiday blues, that I think that we need to step back and remember.
Yeah, the isolation that people experience sometimes this year is a real big thing. That's some hard blues, right?
And you can experience that in a crowd as well. So the
most of the time it's in a crowd.
Yeah, yeah, that's
never
for
been
sure.
So alone as when I was in the center of a crowd that I didn't want to be in.
Exactly. That's horrifying.
Yeah. Stick with us. We need to go to break. Yeah. We're on the phone. This is the AmeriChicks, Molly and Kim, and we are in studio with Keith Hughes. Check out his website, keithcounseling.com. He does a great job. He's been in the industry 30 years, and he's motivational coach, therapist, pastor, mentor, life coach, teacher. Great, great guy, obviously, as you can tell right now. And check out his website. He's got a lot of great videos on there as well. And it's the holidays, so we're talking about...
And if you need somebody to talk to during this time, he's a great guy to do that. So be sure and reach out.
Everybody needs a good listener. And Keith, you're a great listener.
What was that?
Ba-dum-bum. Stick with us for the AmeriChicks. We'll be right back.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose.
To jail.
Ooh, scandalous.
Gosh.
Oh, my gosh. Molly and Kim are the AmeriChicks. We're in studio right now with Keith Hughes. Check out his website, keithcounseling.com. And also, he's got a lot of really great YouTube videos as well. He gives a lot of really great advice. We were talking in the last segment about Christmas and kind of the whole Hallmark, you know, Christmas, we think it's supposed to look like it does on the TV when you're happy and the whole family's together and everybody's dressed nice and there's great food and everybody's getting along. And we know that in reality, it's not really always what happens. But we keep doing it over and over again because it's a ritual, Keith. Let's talk about rituals. Why is it that humans are so into them? What's the point?
Well, rituals are here for a reason. I think it's embedded in our psyche. We're ritualistic beings. Rituals have a way of reinforcing, I think, some really core needs inside of us. They reinforce what we believe, what we think, and what we value. And it's a way we act it out. It's a way we meditate on it. And so that's why we engage in rituals, because it puts us in touch with that. And that's why they're not going to go away, because we do rituals all the time. Sometimes from the moment we wake up, we start them, right?
Really?
Sure, you get up, and you probably have a particular pattern by which
most people
you get
shower,
your day.
Kim.
Most people
morning.
Might take a shower, brush your teeth, have their coffee, go out, get dressed, get out the door.
Okay.
Right?
I hadn't thought about that as a ritual, but it is.
We're patterned beings, and so we have these patterns. And from my perspective, I'm fascinated by patterns. And we live in them, a rhythm at least, right? And the rituals that we decide to do, are they can reinforce the really great things in us. Or sometimes they don't. Or they become a ritual, an empty ritual that we just put up with and do and sleepwalk through it or be annoyed by it, right? And then it's over. Like Christmas, for example, you might hear this. Oh, it's Christmas time. I don't like Christmas. It's so commercial, you know.
And right,
it's
okay. Blah.
But you do it anyway, right, resentfully, and get through it, and that happened. But instead, I think with rituals, we get to change it in a way that it means something for us. And rituals are something you get to create yourself or redesign, so that you can engage with what means something to you more effectively, like Christmas, for example. You can go through your established family pattern of rituals of how we're going to do this year, or decide, what does it mean to you this holiday? If you're a believer, a Christian believer, you can decide, I'm going to do this a bit differently. And instead of doing it the way we've always done it, you can ritualistically do something that would reinforce the story for you, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, what we've done is I've made sure to read the story, watch the story, and listen to the story every year in those three formats within our family.
What exactly are you watching when you're watching the story?
We watch the Jesus of Nazareth story.
Okay.
It's a mini series from the '70s.
Okay.
And watch that.
They had mini series back in the '70s. Just kidding.
Yeah, it's classic.
You are so grounded. Oh my gosh.
Okay, and then
take
what
care
book?
Of her, Kim.
And then what book are you reading?
The Bible.
Okay, and then
I'll listen to the church.
Okay.
Yeah. Huh? It's a ritual.
It's a good idea.
We have other rituals that our family has. You know, that's the holiday one, but it ties the meaning for it for us. One of the definitions for ritual is to change your mind.
Hmm. Really?
Think of it this way. You get if you engage in a ritual, it refocuses you onto something, right? It changes your current state of mind and attaching to something meaningful or purposeful. For instance, and I know I've handed this ritual over to Molly, I try and do this ritual every morning. I'll do 3 minutes of breathing, 3 minutes of gratitude, 3 minutes of asking for help from God, and 3 minutes of praying for others. That's a ritual. And that changes my mindset at that time. And it connects me to my core values. For 12 minutes, it changes my mind, my mindset. Rituals are here to change our mindset or to change what we feel or the state of being that we're in. That's why we do them. To get us out of the mundane and into the spiritual is the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Or to something meaningful, hopefully. Mm-hmm. Right? So rituals are designed to put us into a better mindset or attach us to our core beliefs and or needs. Right? You follow me?
I do.
I gave you that quote earlier.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about that. You know, normally we like to end the show with a quote. So we asked Keith what quote he would like to give us. And we're realizing this is one that requires a conversation. And so your quote, you said, "Religion is what you have after God leaves the building."
Bono.
So we have a couple of minutes. What do you mean exactly by that?
Well, we are beings that like structure and things of that nature and rituals. But when you worship a religion, you leave kind of takes God out of it, right?
Right.
When you don't attach to the meaning of something or the essence of something, then we tend to attach to the action of it. So like people will get into it, focus on the religion and not God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
See, that's
the happens
idea.
A lot.
We get hooked on that very easily. We get on into what we should be doing versus why what we're doing. Right?
And
right?
Okay.
That's the thing.
And that's why a lot of people are anti-church because it's like it's so institutionalized. They're like, I don't want to go to church because it's just like all this stuff that they're telling me that I need to do and all of their judgments on me rather than actually listening to the story of what God says about me.
Yeah, we get hooked into what should we be doing, the behavioral, the action, right, versus...
And who defines that, right? Who defines what we should be doing?
True, right. And we get maybe caught in the religiosity of something, not the meaning of something or the essence of something, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the spirit of something. And so religion is what you have after God leaves the room versus I keep my relationship with God active and my focus into the spirit of God and God's love and the Holy Spirit versus, well, I'm going to act out of religion. Right.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
It does. Now, just very quickly,
sure.
Religion is, I think, a belief system.
A structure to understand God.
Or a structure.
Yeah.
Because a structure of a belief system, okay? Because I would submit to you in the secular world that there's all kinds of religions, if you will.
We're religious beings, yeah.
Yeah. And so what you're saying is we're religious beings. So if you take God out of the equation and you get into over to the postmodern, the secular society that we're in, there's still religion. There's still rituals.
All the time.
But God has been taken out of that.
Right. And that's sort of the idea of rituals is rituals are necessary, but what's the meaning? What's it reinforcing? What's it pointing to? Why are you doing it? That's the point.
Wow.
Is understand the meaning of your ritual. Mm-hmm. Like Christmas. Why do it? Why are we doing it?
So that everybody can get a day off and we can get the economy going with gift giving?
Exactly.
No, it's not, is
make
it?
Make everybody happy.
Yeah, it's remembering the reason for the season.
That's a great quote, Molly.
It is a great quote.
Did you come
I'm
up
so
with
glad
that yourself?
I just came up with that.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, Keith, this has gone way too quickly. We need to have you back. You know, I think probably after the first of the year, because There's things that people are going through right now in the holidays, but then after the first of the year, there's probably some things going as you move into the the new year, because we're just about out of time, Mal.
So I would just close it with this. You know, my point I always like to make is we get to be empowered to create your own rituals that mean something for you. And there's power in developing your own meaning, right? We get handed off to us what things should mean, right? Holidays, uh-huh. Whatever. What do you want it to mean for you? You can change the meaning of things, and that's the power you get to have. This holiday can mean something great for you, how you want to be. Mm-hmm. And do a ritual that will reinforce it.
Wow. Self-empowerment. That's what I love about Keith Hughes. Check out his website. It is keithcounseling.com, keithcounseling.com. Lots of great videos and lots of good information on there. Because you know what? You're not a victim, and you can change your life. And maybe the ritual is the way to do it.
That's for sure. And so the quote that we were talking about from Keith Hughes is, "Religion is what you have after God leaves the building."
That's actually by Bono. It's not mine.
Okay, it's by Bono. So quoted by Keith Hughes. Keith, thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you, ladies.
Keith.
Thank you
Merry
very much.
Merry Christmas. Hey, everybody, have a great weekend. It's Friday. We'll talk to you Monday. God bless you, and God bless America.